of five. Okay. That's it. Okay. Torreway, Northwest London, Monday, the 25th of January, Yud Beis Shvat, Tovshin Pei Aleph, on the Harav Eli Pick Shlita, on the subject of miracles and wonders.
This week we're in the week of Parshas Beshalach, a very dramatic sedra. There was this young boy who went to Hebrew religion school, and he came home and his father said, "What did you learn today?" And he said, "Oh, we learnt all about Moses, how he managed to bash up Pharaoh and he got the children of Israel out from Egypt, and he built a big pontoon bridge, and just as they all crossed and the Egyptians were coming, he blew it up with dynamite." And the father said, "Is that what the rabbi really taught you?" He said, "No, it's not. But if I tell you the real story he told us, you just would not believe it." So, obviously, splitting a sea is a very amazing feat, which demonstrates the might and power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you might say, like nothing else. But is that really the case? You know, Hashem sent a strong wind. There are these scientists, atheists, who say, well, there was a typhoon and it managed to make the water split and it was perfectly natural, and the 10 plagues, natural phenomena, that it's normal for the River Nile to turn red and things like that. But, you know, there are obviously these questions like, then how do the wild animals distinguish between the Yidden and the Egyptians? How is it possible that one Yid is drinking a glass of water while the Egyptian is drinking a glass of blood? And how is it possible for hailstones to contain ice and fire together? So once we look into the details, we find amazing, miraculous things. And this is a topic we're talking about, miracles and wonders, both then and also nowadays. And you can ask, what is a miracle? Purim was a miracle. And when I was at Yeshiva Bach, I used to go around asking different rabbonim, what was the miracle? You know, we'd say, Alanisim, we have a miracle of Purim, but, you know, what happened which was so supernatural that you'd call it a miracle? All right, it's an amazing chain of events, the one coordinating with another, that things happened the way they happened, and that Vashti refused to appear, and that Bigson and Seresh were conspiring to do a coup, and all these things come together. But what was the miracle? We talk about a miracle as being something supernatural. So obviously, splitting a sea must be supernatural. The 10 plagues must be supernatural. But is Purim supernatural? So what is it about that? We say it's miraculous. We say Al HaNisim. But it was amazing. So if everything is miraculous, including things which happen in a normal manner of events, then what is amazing about anything? Hashem can do anything. He can split the sea and he can control Achashverosh's mind. But what is called miraculous? And if all is directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then why should you call anything a miracle? Anything which happens is easy for him to do. And therefore, why do we just say, that's the way Hashem operates? We're looking at the splitting of the sea in particular. We can ask a question, what was the most amazing aspect of all? After all, there were various different events which were happening leading up to it and during it. You've got the strong wind, you've got that they walked through tunnels which looked like glass, there were the fruit trees that they were able to pick from. There's the idea that the ground level came up so that the elderly and the children didn't have to go down steep hills and up steep hills when you go into a seabed. So there were various miracles, many miracles which happened. What was the greatest miracle of all? After all, apart from splitting water, you know, you've got frogs which were conquering the Egyptians, you've got the firstborn getting killed, and one house there's no firstborn getting killed because it's got blood on the doorpost, and the next house there is a firstborn being killed. This is all miraculous. In fact, with the Arbe, it says there never was Arbe like this before, and there will never be like this again. The locusts, there will never be like it again. Well, that in itself is a proof that Torah is Minash Shemayim, because which human being would dare write such a thing, that this will never ever happen again? Amazing. So we've got plenty here to talk about when it comes to Seder night, and we talk about the Gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that through these Nisim, we gain our Emunah. But what was the greatest miracle of all? According to Rav Yosef Albo and according to the Rambam, the greatest event ever in human history was Mamad Har Sinai. It outdid everything else. But let's just focus ourselves on Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban writes in this week's Parsha, "V'chizak dies leiv paro v'rodaf achrihem," and I hardened Paro's heart, and he was chasing us. And not only that, but ichovda b'faro v'chol chelo, and his whole army, so that the whole army were doing something where there was something called chizuk halev. What is chizuk halev? So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Teshuvah, his bechira was taken away from him, his free will. Because if you look at the first five makkos, you don't get this expression. But the second five makkos you do. So the Rambam explains that this was a punishment. It's a punishment that a person's free will was taken away from him. And you've got this in quite a number of pesukim. In Vo'erob, before the makkos start, Vani Akshet Eslev Paro. And then later on, during all the different makkos, by Chazek Hashem a slave Paro with the Shechin at the end of Oeira, by Chazek Leif Paro, and again in Parshas Bo, by Chazek Hashem a slave Paro, you get this with the Choshech and the Makas Pechoros. So you get here the withdrawal of the free will. Says the Ramban something quite amazing. He says, Bavur Shepochad Paro Mehem with Makas Pechoros. Because Paro got such a fright from the Makka of the slaying of the firstborn, you would have thought that he would give up. It would be logical for him to say, okay, I resign. I surrender to the Klal Yisrael. There's no way I can beat them. But that wasn't the case. At that time, it wasn't in his mind to run after them, because after all the experiences he'd had with all the makkos, it would be foolish to run after a people whom you know that God is on their side. So it says, because he didn't really want to run after us. He was compelled to run after us because that was his punishment. So, says the Ramban, Eich yimale libom levo achrayem, and we're not just talking about Paro, we're talking about a whole army. A whole army, right? So this is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu hypnotizing one person, it's a whole people, a whole army. The ein b'chol amotzim kepelazeh. And there is nothing in all the wonders like this one. This is the most amazing thing of all. Splitting the sea, child's play comparatively. Fruit trees raising ground levels, amazing typhoon winds. Hashem was controlling the human mind of Paro and the army. Says the Ramban, that was the greatest miracle of all. So you can ask the question, all right, what's one different to another? It's all supernatural, it's all amazing. Why should you single out one aspect against all others? We have to remember that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim Nigloim, revealed miracles, he's doing it to give us Emunah. And that Emunah strengthens our whole Avdus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing Nisim, and to give us Emunah, whom is he fighting against? He is fighting against the atheists of the world. What do the atheists of the world believe in? They believe in the human mind. They think that the greatest thing of all is the human brain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, look, I can not only control the flora and the fauna of the world, playing around with the animals and the plant life and the weather situation, that's something I can do quite easily, but I can also easily do something else. I can control the human brain, and not just of one person, but of a whole army. That's what it means by the Chizak Dies Leiv Paro. The Ein B'chol Amotzim Kepele Hazeh. And this is an amazing Ramban, which brings out that because the people nowadays of the world who put faith in themselves, in their own human brain, they think that is the most amazing thing. And Hashem is saying he can control that. Interestingly, there is another instance I found where we talk about Chizuk HaLev. It's not so revealed because it's in the Ibn Ezra. And the Ibn Ezra writes in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, on the Kesi Kol B'chor Be'etz Mitzrayim Odom V'had Be'ima, B'chor Elahei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim Ani Hashem, there the Ibn Ezra says, there is another Chizuk HaLev going on, not of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against Paro Mitzrayim, but on HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something to our brains as well. And what is that? He said, When the Jewish people hear the crying going on at Makkas Becharos, they're petrified because they're going to come and lynch us. This is not going to be very easy to face up to these Egyptian neighbours. Their firstborn have been killed. The first thing they'll come out and do is road rage. And they will really go for us. So that normally it would be natural for the Jewish people to be really scared. V'zeh yeh lachem la'os means, says Ibn Ezra, she'chazek levavachem. V'lo yirach b'shomachem tzakas ha'mitzrim. You will not melt when you hear the cries of the Egyptians, the novice b'charehem, when their firstborn are dying. You will become defiant. You will feel self-confident. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who will give you that mental strength. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu manages to weaken the human brain, in the case of the Egyptians, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power with his Nisim to strengthen our brains that we can withstand these big challenges which would come against us in Mitzrayim. When you think of the atmosphere of the morning after, the night before, and we've been eating the Korban Pesach and we're ready to get up from Mitzrayim and we hear these screams and we're petrified. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu weakens the mind and he strengthens the mind. It's mind-boggling. Right, so if we now bring that to our everyday lives, then the fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in charge of our minds, and we're davening to him to ask him to give us that koyach. Because it says in the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamadin in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, Yitzra Shalodom Iskaber Elov, every single day a person's Yetzara is there to overcome him. It's there to rule him. And in the natural way of events, it will overcome a person. Umavakesh lahamiso, it's seeking to kill a person. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not help us, we would not be able to withstand the kach of the Yetzirah. So that's why we're davening in the mornings, that we should have the kach to overrule the Yetzirah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that human brain strength in order to govern it. Despite our Bechira, despite our free will, we still need the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But these are open miracles we've been talking about. What about the hidden miracles, like Purim? And in fact, there's a famous Ramban at the end of last week's Parsha, Parsha's Bo, where the Ramban speaks at length about Nisim, and he says, therefore, Laman Teda, Ki Ani Hashem, what does it mean? That you will know from the Nisim. And he says, Umin HaNisim HaGadolim. And from these great revealed miracles, the amazing ones, Umufursomim, the famous ones, Odomode B'Nisim HaNistorim, a person will also come to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the hidden miracles. That by witnessing, or having witnessed the revealed miracles, we will come to appreciate and understand that there are Nisim HaNistorim. And then he says, amazingly, Shehem Yesod HaTorah Kula. That is the whole foundation of the whole Torah. That if a person doesn't accept that, Shein Lodom Chelek B'Toras Moshe, a person's got no Chelek in Toras Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Shenamin Kulam Nisim Shein Behem Tevat Minoga Shalolom. That there's no such thing in them as nature, which people like to talk about. Nature. So that the hidden miracles, he's saying, are even more profound than the revealed miracles. As a result of the revealed miracles, you will appreciate the hidden ones, but they are even more profound. And if that's the case, then what's, as we asked before, what's so special about any miracle which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? The significance of the revealed miracles and the hidden miracles are all the same. In fact, the Ramban writes in a separate drosha, in the Kisvei Ramban, there's a drosha called Teres Hashem Tumimo, and there, in Daf Kuf Nun Dalad, he writes, She'ein hanisim omdim elo lefi shohein. What is the amazing thing about the miracles? It's not the fact that Hashem splits the sea. It's not the fact that he sends frogs and lice and so on. That's not the most amazing miracle, because that's easy for him. Well, nothing's difficult for him. But what's the most amazing thing for us is the timing. The fact that he does it at that moment. So if you've got your atheist scientific theories that there was a strong typhoon wind, yes, but it happened just then at that particular moment when Klal Yisrael are about to be captured and all drowned. That is what it is. And that is the story of Purim. The fact that things happened just at the time that they happened, that Esther was chosen to be queen, that Mordechai overheard the conversation of Bigson and Seresh, and that the king couldn't sleep, and that Haman was walking in the courtyard at that time of night. All these events that they just happened then, with that timing, that is miraculous, just like the Kriyas Yamsuf was miraculous. And so we've seen in our own time, we've seen amazing things happening. When we had the Six-Day War in 1967, afterwards there were British military experts who said that according to military logic, there is no logical way that the army could have conquered the Arabs in the way that they did in 5 or 6 days. It's just impossible. We've seen other things going on, like Entebbe and so on, but every single day we are experiencing miracles. 300 years ago, there was a Godel Hadar in London. His name was Rav David Nieto, and he was recognized as a Godel by the Chidon, the Shema Gedolim, by the Shagas Aryeh, who wrote a Hakdama to a Sefer of his, and the Chacham Tzvi, and they referred to Rav David Nieto as one of the Gedolim. He was the first Rav of the Bevis Mark Synagogue in 1701, and he came to England from Venice, where he was a Rosh Yeshiva, and he found, when he got to England, a country which was obsessed with science. There was Sir Isaac Newton, there was Sir Robert Boyle, and all they spoke about was Mother Nature. They were talking about natural law. All right, we talk in Chazal about Minhag HaShalom, the normal passage of events. But they were introducing a new idea that there is something called nature, which designs. They were saying that nature is something which is like something personified as a creating and a controlling force, which is pure Avodah Zarah. They say that the plants purify the air, so that nature is intelligent, that the trees shade us from damaging rays, that grass keeps the coastlines from eroding. So he stood up on Shabbos Parshas Lech Lecha in the year 1703 in Bevis Mark Synagogue, and he said, listen to me clearly, what I'm about to say is a fundamental belief. Actually, he said it in Spanish because that's the language they were all talking at the time. He said, there is no such thing as nature. The word does not exist in Hebrew. About 500, which is really 800 years ago, some people took the word teva and decided to use it to describe what they called the laws of nature. But in truth, no such thing exists. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is nature. And there was one man in the audience called Yoshua Zarfati who said, this is kafira. You can't say that. That nature is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt, in his own opinion, that Rav Nieto was talking something which was following the Sabbateans or Spinoza, who were the Kofrim of the time. And so this Sarfati walked out of the shul, and there was a big commotion about it. So Rav Nieto said, okay, I'll write a sefer to explain this. And he wrote a sefer in Spanish, which they could all understand, called De la Divina Providencia, Divine Providence. And he spoke about Tehillim, where in Kuf Lamed Ches, Bayamim v'chalt homos malanasi mitzay oretz barokin lamoto, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manipulating the clouds, the lightning, motzei ruach miatzrosov, the wind, shikob b'chom Mitzrayim. Note in the same breath how David HaMelech says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu smit the firstborn of Egypt, me'odon v'had behemo. And then there are other psukim, hamachas hashemayim ba'oven, hamechin loretz moto, Hashem covers the sky with clouds, prepares rain from the ground, makes grass grow on the mountains. Hanosen shela katsoma, he makes the snow like wool. This is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing. This is not nature. And he writes a whole sefer about this. But the commotion still carried on even after he published his sefer. And so the Parnasim of the Gaboim of the Shul decided that they have to go to some respected Rav abroad who can look at the dispute. And they went to Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, the Chacham Tzvi, who is the only Ashkenazi rabbi who ever was given a title, Chacham, by the Sfaradim. And so they went to him for looking at it, and he went through it, and he wrote an interesting teshuvah about it in the Shalos Teshuvos Chacham Tzvi Simon Yod Ches, exonerating Rav Nieto, praising Rav Nieto, and explaining that even though in the Kabbalim, in Kabbalah, they say that Hateva is the same gematria as Elohim, but Hateva is not what Chazal meant when we talk nowadays about Teva. Hateva is the natural order, that the way the world is run, but that is not something like what you'd call Mother Nature. And he said, we thank Rav Nieto for warning people not to be led astray by the philosophers who talk about nature, and everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we take things for granted in our daily lives. In fact, every Friday night, Rav Franz Schlitter sits down with his family and asks every single person around the table to say something about how they experienced Hashgacha Pratis during that week. That if one would appreciate, there was one Rosh Hashiva who said, if one would appreciate the significance of the Broch Asher Yotzar after one has been to the Beis HaKisei, one would phone home afterwards to say that one is okay. Because, oh, so many things could go wrong, but everything goes in an orderly manner. We take too much for granted. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, in Simon Reshut Chesif Dalet, that one who sees a place where he experienced a miracle, one should say a brocha. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, She'os Oli Neis, Bamakom Hazeh. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me a miracle. So, does this mean a neis which is supernatural? Or does it mean something which, it's amazing, it just happened at that moment? And the fact that it happened at the moment, it saved your life. So Chai Olam says, if it's something which saved your life, even though it appears to others like a natural being, you say this bracha she'osol li neis b'mokam hazeh. In nitzol min hamiso mavorech, he says, af she'atzol ha'oso b'derech minhogo shel olam. Even if one was saved in the minhogo shel olam. And people think about it and they realize how they've had events in their lives where they managed to escape from a wild animal or a wall collapse. I know somebody who took a baby out of a cot and 10 seconds later the whole ceiling collapsed just on the place where the cot is. I know a person who is sitting in this room who was having problems swimming once at sandbanks and he thought he was really finished. He thought he was drowning and somebody called David Obermeister suddenly appeared from nowhere and saved him. There are events. When my wife was once driving on a fast lane, on a fast road, suddenly she saw the bonnet of a car coming towards her. There was nothing she could do. She couldn't move into another lane. She couldn't brake, otherwise there would be a crash. She couldn't do anything. So she realised the only thing she could do was daven. But if that car bonnet would smash through her windscreen, she dreaded to think what the consequences were. So she davened. And suddenly a big gust of wind threw this car bonnet up in the air and it flew on top of the car. And it didn't land on the car behind either. So, nissim neflois. And these are things which happen every day if people would only open their eyes. There's a biography about the late Dr. Adler, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, which talks about people describing events that happened to them. And it talks about a yeshiva bacha who had pain in his eyes when he was reading in yeshiva. And he went from one doctor to another, and none of them could help him. Not a single doctor. He went to 17 different doctors, including the top eye specialist in Hadassah Hospital, a Scottish professor called I.C. Michelson. He was an expert in eyes. And he was given an award by Her Majesty the Queen for curing blindness in African children. And he examined this bacha, and he said to him, there's nothing wrong with you. And the bacha said, well, what are you talking about? I have pain. And this bacha came to London, and he went to see Dr. Adler just for a letter to go to Moorfields Eye Hospital. And Dr. Adler asked him to explain the whole story, what every single doctor said. And before Dr. Adler even examined this boy, he said to him, do you suffer from dandruff? Huh? This bacha thought, is this fellow a crackpot or something? I've just been through the best doctors. He says, when you're learning, you're rubbing your hair, and the dandruff is falling in your eyes. And that's what's causing your pain. And this bacha recovered. That bacha was me. You know, and I looked back on it and I thought, this was just a miracle. This was a miracle. But you say, well, it was all natural events. You know, this doctor got it wrong, that doctor got it wrong. That's a normal thing to happen. But when I look back at the other events which were happening at the same time, that it compelled me to come back to England. And when I was in England, I had to do a certain family mission which nobody else was able to accomplish. And I thought, wow. This was the Yad Hashem guiding me until I had to come to England and get this sorted out. So everybody has an experience. I know somebody called Charlie Rothstein who was once driving a car and he was about to turn right. He put his foot on the pedal and the car did not move. And then after that, a car overtook him on the right-hand side and had he moved, there would have been a terrible collision. But he definitely put his foot on the pedal and the car would not move. I once walked into Kol Teri Yeshiva, visiting some friends, and there was a man there making a Sudas Hodor. And every year he would make this meal in thanks for a miracle which happened. He was on a ship called the Dunera, which the British government sent to Australia with those who were interned, mainly the Jewish refugees from Germany, but there were also Nazi sympathisers on this boat. There were 2,500 people on this ship. Very overcrowded, terrible conditions. And Nazis actually fired two torpedoes at this ship. One reached the ship but did not explode. And the other torpedo, a huge wave threw the ship high in the air, a ship of 2,500 people. It threw it high in the air and the torpedo passed through underneath. For that reason, he made every year the Sudas Hodor. So when we say our Shemona Esrei every day, we say, Noda Lachon Osapet and Osecho, we describe praise for Hashem, Val Nisecho Shebachol Yomimonu, not just Kriyas Yamsuf, not just the Ten Makkos, not just the Mon in the Midbar, not just Mamad Har Sinai, but every single day that we experience Shebachol Yomimonu Val Nifno Secho Vetzav Osecho Shebachol Eis, Erev Vavoke Vetzoroim. And it's not just what happens to you, it's when it happens. And when you go afterwards and you look back, as the Pasuk says, Hatsur Tomim Palo Ki Chol Drachov Mishpot. Hatsur, which is the rock, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tomim Palo, when he's finished in his ways, then you will understand Ki Chol Drachov Mishpot. But when you're in the middle of it all, you don't understand what Hashem is doing. He's got a plan, he has an agenda. And then at the end of it, you look back and you understand what this agenda was. Ki chol drachov mishpot. So we can take a big chizuk this week's sedra from Tzias Mitzrayim, from Kriyas Yamsuf, from the Shiro. But we must not diminish the importance of every event which is there to give us emunah. That is the foundation of it all. That is why we sit on Seder night, to give ourselves emunah, to speak about these events. And if I may just finish with a small story. When I started in Gateshead Yeshiva, Reb Moshe Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, came into the room and sat down with us. We were mainly ex-Hasmoneans. And he said, look, I've got 5 minutes to sit with you. Ask me a question, any question. And one boy said, talk to us about Emunah. I was amazed. He's asking Reb Moshe Schwab to teach us about Emunah and he's only got 5 minutes. There are people who spend their whole lives trying to understand what Emunah is and to apply it and to behave properly in the way of Emunah. And here he's asking Reb Moshe to tell us something in a space of 5 minutes, and we've only got 1.5 minutes left. And Reb Moshe Schwab spoke like this. He said, imagine you're at the scene of an accident, Rachmana Litzlan. You can see what's going on. One car hits another car. You can see if somebody got injured. You've got Hatzolah on the scene. And the police have arrived. So you stand there and you watch. You don't ask the person standing next to you what happened. But half a mile down the road, the people, they can't see what's going on. They don't know. Because they can just see a flashing blue light, but nothing else. So they ask questions. Was anybody hurt? Did the cars collide? Have the police arrived? Is there an ambulance there? They ask questions because they can't see it. When you can see it, and there's a number of ways of achieving this. When you go through your Blat Gemara and you get the beauty of Limud Torah, you see it. When you study the ways of nature, the Eidos, you see it. When you look at the Nisim, which are described, as the Kuzari explains, because so many millions of people saw this event of Kriyas Yamsuf, that gives Emunah. When you see these things, when they were standing at Kriyas Yamsuf, they didn't ask any questions, they could see it. And that's what gives us our Emunah. And that is a tribute to Reb Moshe Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And may we appreciate that we do not ever diminish the importance of every single event which is orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you. Yeah.